Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PO Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We are here today with Nick Cantos. Nick Cantos is the college student son of attorney Ole Cantos. Ole Cantos is an attorney over in Washington, D.C., and he's been doing that for a real long time. He adopted three boys. Nick is the oldest of the three. They're triplets, believe it or not. And they're exceptional kids, and the reason why I say that is lots of reasons. You'll hear that as we do this radio show. But we have Nick today, not Ole. Ole's got busy with a meeting. He called me up yesterday, kind of told me he wouldn't be here, but we are here with Nick. And if I sound a little bit different, it's only because I'm on a different phone line. For those people that have, you know, never dealt with technology before, the telephone company is having a hard time with one of my land lines. So if you heard a little bit of static last week, they're still in the process of trying to fix that, and we've gone straight up the ladder, 2, 3, 4 different supervisors, 2, 3, 4 different technique guys, and we're on the way towards trying to figure out why in the world we can't get the static off my phone line. However, because we have redundancy here and cell phones and all that sort of stuff, I'm on a cell phone today, so if my voice sounds a little bit different or I kind of fade in and out, it's only because of that's why. We don't use cell phones most of the time. We use landlines, but the landline is kind of busted up. So we are here with Nick Cantos, who's a college student and entering his last couple of semesters as a college student before he graduates, but he's also successfully done some things with learning real estate. He's got a real estate course under his belt and may eventually start to sell some houses somewhere between now and then and in the state of Virginia or or Maryland. But we're here to say hi to Nick, and I have a couple of questions for Nick before we get started, a little bit off topic, but maybe somewhat relative. So, Nick, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Thanks for having me here. This is always a fun experience. I've been doing this for about 6 years now. So I'm 22. I was 16 when I started. So it's great to be here.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So for those people that are keeping score, today is September 10th of 2021. And on September 10th of 2001, 20 years ago, we had a couple of planes flying into some buildings. And
Actually,
changed the Right, tomorrow. Right, so on September, right, this is the day before it happened. But I don't know what it's like to be Nick's age. I remember what it was like to be my age when that happened. But Nick, if he's 22 now, you were only 2. Is that true?
I wasn't even in his country when it happened. I had no idea until I was taught in history class. And then I saw the pictures or the videos, and it was I looked them up personally because I wanted to see what history was. And, yeah, I went to the museum. That place changed.
You went to the museum? Which museum?
The 9/11 museum in New York.
Oh, wow.
When we went to New York, we saw the place.
About how old were you when you went?
17, 16, I forget which one.
Oh, wow. So do you remember how old you were when you first heard about 9/11?
Yeah, around like 9.
And that's when they were teaching it in school, or is that something your dad or somebody else brought up?
I didn't have a dad before 10, so it was basically school, basically.
Okay. Right, so for those people that are unfamiliar with your story, tell people your story before your dad, before you're now dad. So Ole Cantos adopted the boys when you were what, 15?
16, officially, yeah. Well, yeah, it started 16.
So right around the time when we started our radio shows, you guys were officially adopted by Ole Cantos, your now dad.
Yes.
Wow.
Tell
us about
it. So in terms of this. I went to the museum when I was 17 or 16. I was definitely one of those ages. And, yeah, that place changes you pretty quickly. You know, it's a very... Yeah, you know, there's looking at pictures and watching videos, and then there's actually witnessing history, the remains of history. It's different, and it was definitely a, of course, very sad experience. But you know, it's fine. I mean, I guess it's the 20th anniversary tomorrow. Pretty weird how it's already there, already happening, but. Boy, yeah, this is definitely something.
So you're only two when it happened and oblivious to it, because when you're two, you're worried more about other things. And then what country were you in?
I was in Colombia.
Okay. And then when did you come to the United States?
Three, almost four, 2 days before I turned four.
Okay. So you probably don't remember a whole bunch about Colombia.
No, I have no memory of it.
Okay. So, and you were born blind, which means that it would be even harder to have a real memory of the country because of just having those types of issues. And then you came here, and then when they were teaching you in school, how did they bring it up? Like, did they talk about? Well, I shouldn't ask. I shouldn't tell. I should probably just ask. How did they bring it up, and how did they teach?
Well, it wasn't taught much. It was taught enough where we knew what happened. They said in 2001 something happened where two airplanes hit the Twin Towers, and they told us where the Twin Towers were. And they didn't tell us anything about the death toll or anything. And we found out later that 3,000 people died. Or 2,997 people died, or whatever it was. It was a lot, but still, I didn't know about that. Had no idea other than just they hit the Twin Towers. That's it.
Wow. So, and obviously you're in Washington, D.C. Well, not you're in Washington, D.C. now, but you were around that area, and you realized the Pentagon was hit
the
same day.
So I went to the Pentagon, and I went to the place in New York. So I've been to both places.
Wow.
So I know what happened there. So yeah.
Now, for those people listening in, my children, I grew up in New York, not in New York City, but I went to the city often enough, obviously. And every time you drive over a bridge, you could see the city skyline. So whether you're on the Frog's Neck or the Clearwater or the Tappan – well, not the Tappan Zee, but if you're on the Whitestone Bridge or whatever, and I used to drive over that quite often, especially when I lived my girlfriend slash wife lived in Yonkers, so I would have to drive over the bridge lots of times. And if we would go upstate, we'd always drive over the bridges, and you could always see the magnificent New York skyline with the Twin Towers and the Empire State Building. And then when I was in Brooklyn or Queens – running, you know, the Electrolux offices, you could sometimes see them as you were looking down the block, or sometimes you even go into Manhattan for things. And there's really nothing like a huge building like that. For those people who have never been to a big city before, there's really nothing like it. So when my dad was alive, we used to take my children to New York for Thanksgiving, and we always used to take the Long Island Railroad into the city, into Grand Central, and then we would take the buses and just kind of walk around the city with the kids and have them experience the energy that happens in New York. Well, after 9/11, we went into the city, and I took my kids to the Empire State Building. And, Nick, I don't know if you've ever been to the Empire State Building.
I have not.
I think it's 109. It was at one time the tallest building. Built in a really fast period of time, and they have these super wicked fast elevators that go up to the top. Well, they have an observatory on the 1,002nd floor, if I'm getting my floors right, and you actually get a chance to walk out, go up the elevators, you get a chance to walk out. Of course, they have big fences and stuff like that so you can't jump. But you get a chance to go see the New York skyline. So we took my kids up to the observation floor of the Empire State Building. And I remember as a dad, I wanted to watch their expressions as they opened the elevator doors and walked out, because there's nothing quite like being out in the open air 102 stories above the ground in a wonderful city like New York. It is awe-inspiring. It's like something you've never experienced before. But we did that first. And then part of my educational lessons is I took them to Ground Zero. This is before they built that museum that you went to. This is when they had a hole in the ground. And when we were looking at the hole in the ground, I said to the kids, listen, remember where you were before? Well, the Twin Towers was like 20 stories higher than where you were. And then two of those buildings came down, you know, right in this area that you're looking in that they've already cleaned out. And it was really something to experience, a little bit like that museum that you had gone to, but it was really something to experience. And I knew that when it was happening, that our lives would never be the same. And you would have no relevance, you have been nothing to compare it to because you don't know what it was like before. This is the world that you grew up in. But for those people that are older, we remember what the world was like before 9/11. And now, we remember what it's like.
There was a time where you could just go to an airport. My dad told me there was a time you can go to an airport and there was like barely any security. Like you just walk through. I wish you could do that now. that'd be kind of cool.
We were uncomfortably relaxed when it came to security for a long time. And I know this is something that's a little bit off topic, but, like security, like you're talking about, ID, like what you're talking about, there was no really things like terrorist attacks or anything else like that before 9/11 that we were really worried about. And most people were not necessarily on guard. Now, if you grew up in New York, and there were, crime in New York and stuff like that, you're always a little bit somewhat paranoid or aware of your situation. But as far as, like, the stuff that you're referencing, hey, you could walk up to any gate in any airport at any time, meet your relatives. As far as security was concerned, there was no such thing as security like that. You didn't have to scan through a whole bunch of things. It was a different world. And I remember that they were going to use this as an excuse to increase the infrastructure of the government with a whole layer of security. And there was probably going to be a whole bunch of surveillance. And at this time, too, digital stuff was just becoming available. So you knew anything that was digital could probably be tracked. And even before Eric Snowden and Julian Assange and all those other people that were whistleblowers, you knew that the world was going to become a more surveillance state. And maybe for good. I mean, I'm sure there's some holes that we don't know about that the surveillance has actually protected us. But boy, did it make a big message over here. Now, there was one other time, Nick, that we were uncomfortably relaxed when it came to security. And I know you're not going to guess it, but it had to do with safety seals. You know, there was a time where bottles like of aspirin and all those other types of things.
The Tylenol killer.
They didn't have
I remember this.
Right, the Tylenol killer. So there used to be a time where you would just be able to unscrew a top, put it back on the shelf, and nobody knew the difference. There was no such thing as a safety seal. So that was what I mean by uncomfortably relaxed, which made no sense because why wouldn't you put a safety seal? But because the demand wasn't there and probably the expense hadn't been set up, there was no such thing as a safety seal, which is really weird because you imagine today anything not having a safety seal on it. But that's the world that I kind of grew up with, and people older than me have a lot more examples of more of a relaxed, simpler, less threatening kind
of
life.
But you know, it's not just about stuff physically. Financial stuff, and this is where, this is what I learned in financial management or financial corporate finance. There's a lot of stuff people have to do. There are a lot of security things now. Now, In 2002, after Enron, WorldCom, and Arthur Andersen all died, all just lost in the game of business, there was an act I learned about called the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, or SARBOX, where now CEOs or managers are required to they're required to sign forms saying that the stuff on the balance sheet, on the financial statements, is true, accurate, and that it doesn't go against the conventions of accounting and all that stuff. And it is interesting how the world has changed from that. Now you can't get away with anything, because if you report something bad and people see it, you're finished. You know, back in the 90s, it was not like that. Not at all. It was especially in the 80s and 90s, they had that thing called the culture thing called greed is good. And that changed the business market forever. This is all stuff I learned through history. I didn't experience any of this. All I know is that things happened, and I know what those things are now, but I didn't live in that period, of course. So, well, that is until 2008, that I don't know too much about. But yeah, it's interesting what we all do in terms of security, not just physical, but financial security as well.
Right. Well, we're going to do this. We're going to take a little commercial break. We'll be right back with Nick Cantos. Let me find my commercial button. Here we go.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous Blog, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
Excellent. We are here with Nick Cantos, and Nick brought up something that I'll just kind of expand upon. Nick, one of the things that happened with 9/11 that was somewhat suspicious, and, you know, this isn't the place to talk about whether it was a conspiracy or an inside job, you know, or any of those things. You can talk about coincidences or conspiracies, however, you know, fits your research. But there was a gentleman named Don Rumsfeld, and Don Rumsfeld was testifying that there was something like a $3 trillion hole in the budget. Like, we didn't know where the money went. And I don't know if you know, like, where that came about, but it was kind of curious that the whatever hit the Pentagon happened to hit the accounting portion of the Pentagon, where all those papers that could have proved where that was kind of got obliterated. And Building 7 probably had some paperwork in it that coincidentally got obliterated as well, you know, so that's another kind of a story. But there was something that happened. And people would say, well, where did they find out that there was this missing money? And it was like this. So you'll appreciate this. You might do some research on it as well. There was a line on most of the accounting of many of the government offices that was kind of left blank, let's say. And it had to do with, like, you know, we don't really know where this money went, kind of a blank. And some entrepreneurial people actually took all the budgets and all the accounting of all the different offices and added that line together and came up with this huge number of money that was unaccountable for. Like, it didn't really fit into a description, whatever you want to call that kind of money. It was suspicious. Well, sometime later, our fine government made it legal to actually have two sets of books, one that we show the public and then one that we don't. So you might want to research that, Nick. That's kind of curious. Ask your financial professors about that level of accounting. So there's a...
Well, there's two kinds of accounting I know about. There's managerial accounting, which is private accounting for businesses themselves, which we're using as a family, the way we do it. And then there's financial accounting. If you own a business where the traditional business that has stocks and things, you have to do financial accounting to report those statements. But I know what the differences are, fortunately, which is great.
Right. So it's kind of interesting to see how that stuff looks. But it was also kind of curious that was the part of the Pentagon that happened to get hit. And the Building 7, of course, is always a question mark in many people's minds, especially guys like me, is how can two planes knock down three buildings? This isn't bowling. If you've ever been bowling before, sometimes you know how maybe one ball can hit down multiple pins. But in the world of physics, I think even some engineers said, it's kind of interesting how two planes knock down three buildings. So that's another conversation that you can do some research on for those people that are listening in that are newer that probably forgot. Guys like me never forgot that. People that are younger maybe never knew about it. But for those newer people that are listening in, do some research on that, and you'll find some very interesting things. So back to that. So this is 9/11. You know, if we will, or we're coming close to remembering 9/11. And I just wanted to hear what your perspective was, Nick, because you were really not part of that live process at that time, so your interpretation of the events might be slightly different than mine, who was watching it as an adult as it was happening. So I'll let you comment on that if you want.
Okay. All the stuff I got was from news reports. The CNN broadcast is the one I saw. I looked at, I looked at that thing, and they said that when I heard that the plane hit the Twin Towers, I was like, wow. I mean, you know, someone tells you these things, or your teacher tells you, but when a news person from a broadcast that you listen to explains that, it's like, wow. I mean, how as an adult do you process this? You're just waking up, and then at 8 in the morning, whatever it was, 9 in the morning, boom, plane hits the Twin Towers, just like that. How do you even process such a thing? I was 2 years old. I didn't know anything about this. But all I know is that this happened and that it was absolutely terrible. And then I went to the place where it happened, and the energy there, I tell you, that place. Oh, man. You can't really describe it. It's like, it's really a pretty interesting yet still very somber place. Like I said, I don't have experiences, so it's really difficult for me to really understand what it was like. But I try to, I really do try to, understand it so that I can, just have it in my brain so I can just like, so I could never forget what it must have been like. Because I mean, it's obvious. If I didn't know, I wouldn't have known at all. But I looked it up, and I went in, and I that's my perspective, I guess. I just kind of, I'm sort of a person who looked after.
Right. Well, it's all very interesting stuff. And again, as a college student, now you're around a whole bunch of other college students that we're really probably too young to remember it live. You know, most of your friends are probably around your age or less.
In my opinion, there are some colleges that are saying, don't show the footage. Don't teach this. Don't do this. Don't do that. I think we should see the full thing, uncut, nothing hidden whatsoever. I think we should see the whole thing without any cuts, without any edits, full on in your face. You know why? Because then that means history won't repeat itself if people see it.
A lot of college students
are saying
they don't want to see it?
they don't want to see it. They don't want to. They don't want teachers to tell people about the death toll. They don't want. They don't want people to know. Like college students are saying, "Oh, this is too." No, if I were a professor and I taught this, I would show it full in your face, no holding back, no nothing. You know why? Because then if people see it themselves, that means it will never repeat itself. It will never. It just can't repeat itself. If people will not plan something like this or anything like or something even worse, because they'll see what true tragedy looks like. I don't even care if someone sees it and cries. You know why? Because it means then that they acknowledge that this tragedy was real and that this is something that you can't hide. You can't hide from. It is part of your history. It is part of American history. And to hide from history is just not right.
Yeah, that's surprising. I would think that, like, for instance, if you said to me, we have footage.
I am really serious.
Right. Yeah, if you said to me, you know, we have footage of what happened at Pearl Harbor, and I was able to watch it, I would want to watch it to go through the experience to really see what it was happening. And we didn't have that level, to the best of my knowledge, of any of that at that time. But 9/11, we had the technology where people could be looking online. They could be looking through, like, there's so much footage of 9/11 from every angle, like from every angle, that people wouldn't want to experience that so they can get a real understanding of that is really rather sad.
So it is.
That's
this
really
is,
sad.
This is exactly
that's really
what
sad
happens.
To hear.
Hesitation, right? This is what happens when people simply don't understand what events, what history really is. People, sure, they go to history class, they learn history, but they don't understand how history actually affects people. They just don't until they see it. I'll tell you right now, if I could see, I wish I could see this. You know why? Because I would want to know what it was like, personally.
Yeah,
I care about learning about these things. Even if it's terrible, even if it's disturbing, I don't care. You know why? Because I like having knowledge of this stuff. And this is what happens. This is why history repeats itself, because people don't take the time to watch it.
Yeah, that's so sad that people, you know, I've never spoken to anybody that said, like, I don't talk about this to college students. So this is the first time I've really kind of been exposed to what you're saying. And I'm like, you know, how in the world could you possibly think about being a leader or an adult and have an experience like this happen that you don't really want to learn about? Now, I'm not saying it should be a pleasant experience. It probably should be a pretty painful experience. But to not want to learn as much as you possibly could about this is really rather sad. But anyway, so we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I'll let you comment on that and give people your contact information. So if they want to get in touch with you or your dad, they'll be able to.
Well, thanks for talking. Thanks for listening to this. I know this was a very somber topic, and it's something that is definitely off topic from what we normally speak about. But it's important to know this. It's important to understand perspective. And even if I know this is a business show, I still think that this stuff, the way we talk about it, is important, especially because it's the day before things happen, right? So thanks for listening. If you want to get into contact with my family, with me and my family, the website is https://infone.co/cantos.
So we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Nick, I sincerely say thank you for your perspective and thanks for your feedback, because there's a lot
thank
of stuff,
you.
And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy having you here, is because you give us a perspective of what might be in a different generation, so I really appreciate it. We'll catch everybody next time on Building Fortunes Radio. Thank you, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.